News Talk 1620 WTAW, an opportunity to get caught up on what's happening at the Brazos Valley Food Bank. Director Teresa Mangapura on the phone. And big and small, you take all sorts of donations, lots of partners around the year for the food bank. And one of those opportunities coming up with the Messina Hoff Winery and Resort on Saturday.
Yeah, it's nice. I think Messina Hoff's done this at least 3 or 4 years now. And in lieu of, I guess, having to purchase a ticket to get into the event, if you bring a canned good, which will end up being donated to the food bank, you get in for free. And then there's all kinds of things going on at the event, like the grape stomping type things. And, of course, they've got food and lots of wine there. So it's really a good thing for the food bank because we don't have to do a whole lot, but it's a way to get the community to get some food to us as well as to enjoy a Saturday out at Messina Hoff. So,
and you can go to the Messina Hoff website to get more information.
Correct.
The bigger thing I wanted to visit with you about, because this just seems to me to be the latest example of how the food bank partners with other for-profits and maybe even some non-profits to benefit folks.
Yeah, I mean, we're really fortunate. I think it's because it's such a simple concept. Everybody's got some food in their house, and it's a really easy way to, just about anybody can find a way to give, no matter who they are or their economic status or social status, whatever. It's just kind of an equalizer, and it's a way to donate. So a lot of groups like to have a barrel at their event and just sort of show their goodwill to the community and, of course, the food bank and get people involved. In fact, tomorrow, Feathercrest Farms, in association with United Egg Producers and Feeding America, is bringing a very large egg donation just in time for Easter. And so anything that has some kind of spin on it where we can get product into the food bank, because actually right now, while we're doing okay with monetary donations, food donations are a bit low. I'm not exactly sure why. So this idea of the food drive at Messina Hoff and then the donated eggs, all of that, and plus many, many more, it takes all of those events kind of to help us keep going.
Quantify the egg donation if you can. And do you have the resources to, I presume you have to refrigerate them?
We do, and we have commercial size coolers here, so we're lucky for that. But the interesting thing about it, I think this is the third year that they've done this. The first year we were like, oh my gosh, there's no way we can handle that, and who's going to want to handle eggs? And you know, they fly off the shelf here at the food bank. The pantries in town realize that it's a really quality source of protein and versatile. You can do a lot of different things with eggs, and most people like them. And so they just get the amount that they need, and they can store safely. But we can keep a whole lot on hand. But like I said, they don't stick around for very long.
I'm guessing that's the biggest donation of that particular food product you'll receive during the year.
Yes. And luckily for us, they're a great partner all year round, and we actually purchase some eggs from them as well, just because the people here really seem to enjoy having them at the food pantry. So
it's almost kind of a treat then.
It is. Anything that we can give out that's fresh. I mean, I think you really hit it on the head there. The stuff that's fresh, produce, eggs, breads, those kinds of things, kind of things that we probably somewhat take for granted. And milk. Milk is becoming more and more donated. Oak Farms has donated some milk to us recently. Gallons, chocolate, vanilla, they thought was a pretty large volume. We were able to get it out in one day. And as well as the Kroger stores are starting to let us pick up some milk. So I'm really excited about the way things are going with donations and people thinking outside of the box of it, not just having to be canned goods, not that there's anything wrong with those, but that we have the capability to handle more fresh.
Well, and that's really the foundation, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. The bulk of the food out in our warehouse is dry staples. It's canned goods, it's boxed foods, and for obvious reasons, that lasts a lot longer, and temperature isn't as much of an issue. Food safety isn't as much of an issue, and people, you know, that's what people have on their shelves to donate.
Well, is it a case that over the years that food banks are doing refrigeration and doing more to try to turn around perishables?
Oh yeah, I mean that it's. There's a couple of reasons why. Number one, I mean, food banking across the country has been very good in tapping into the donations in their local communities and on a national level as well with the help of Feeding America. so well that we're realizing that what's really still untapped are those perishable items. That's, and again, it's a disconnect between those that could donate it to us and us communicating our message to them well, that yes, we can take it, and yes, we do know how to handle it safely and securely. So that's kind of the new thing that's going on. Most food banks are investing a lot more in refrigerated trucks, which we have, and bigger spaces for cooler and freezer, because that's where those donations are. And we also don't want to be part of the problem to the obesity epidemic that's going on and the problems with diabetes and all that. So we're trying to balance out as best we can.
Is it still something, though, with perishables that you prefer going to the suppliers directly as opposed to me going buying a gallon of milk and a dozen eggs and bringing them to the food bank?
Well, yeah, because it would be difficult to figure out how to handle a smaller donation of the perishables. Normally, if we get, I mean, but I can say that people do give us product from their private gardens, from their house. Dr. Novak on campus has a garden, and there's a class that's been bringing out lettuce and radishes, and the USDA has a garden. They're doing sweet corn. If we can have more of a volume on that, then it can go to one place and everybody can get a little bit of it. But if I just get 1 gallon of milk, it's going to probably end up at a place where people are living on site so they can use it in a communal way, which is not a problem. It's just, it's not as impactful.
Well, and you're already kind of the conductor of a big orchestra already, and I know you'd like to have as many instruments as possible in this big band, but trying to manage the whole thing.
Yeah, you know, the commercials that are out now about, you know, UPS having the line on logistics, I totally watch those very closely because I'm thinking there's so much more that we could do if we just, you know, analyze that better. But you're right. In reality, we're working with a bulk of food that's donated and items that are donated that we have no control over what it is or the quality of it, but we make the best of it. You know, it's still a blessing to get those items, and it's a privilege to give them out to those who need it. So
let's kind of go back around full circle. You had mentioned a little earlier about clubs, organizations, somebody looking to help out the food bank, just fill up a barrel or something. If maybe we've inspired somebody to look into that, how do they go about it?
We have a pretty decent website. It's www.BEasinBoy.org. And if you go under, I think on the left-hand side, it says Get Involved. And then there's some links that you can go to for volunteering or conduct a food drive. And it'll give you some information and contact information of the appropriate staff person here that can set you up.
If this is the first time somebody's been listening to us, so we've been, I think we've been visiting about every quarter or so, update us on how much is consumed and how many people do you serve?
Well, in 2010, and we're on the calendar year, it was about 44,000 unique individuals. So that's not counting each time they go to a food pantry, that's counting them once, that were served, and it was almost 4 million pounds of food. So our average is like 300,000 pounds a month, and that's quite a few semi-trucks if you kind of break that down. We work with 40 different partner agencies throughout six counties, and we're a staff of 11, so I think we make a big impact with some mighty folks here determined to get things done. We do have a help from a lot of volunteers. I think our volunteer hours were the equivalent of like 8 more full-time staff last year, which is says a lot about this community and says a lot about how dependent we are on those volunteers. So it is really a community effort to feed our neighbors in need. I mean, I really do believe that. When you think about how we run on donated food, we run on donated volunteer time, just everything altogether. If any of those pieces were missing, we would have a really, really hard time.
Teresa Mangapora, running the food bank. I hope it's not running her. You may say that sometimes, but we appreciate the work that you do there.
Thank you.
You're listening to News Talk 1620 WTAW.